Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line? Now 20% lower. Family plans? Also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. We're a little off the beaten path of the expectation series today. Going to take a little break. Friday morning GM. We are here and talking about the Ravens 2025 depth chart. Doing that with me is Spencer Peterson. Spencer, how you doing?
Doing well, Ken. Excited to be here. You know, loved having some of these offseason conversations as we kind of wait for the season to start in September. So good to be having these conversations in May.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun. And OTAs just started today. We're recording this on the 28th. Of course, you're probably listening to this on the 29th or the 30th. But the Ravens have produced their initial depth chart. It came out actually yesterday. It's in an article from Ryan Mink out on the website if you want to go take a look at it. This is I believe, a PR-generated depth chart which the media unit is reporting on, unless they change the responsibility and gave that job to Mink, who is the an editorial director there. It is I think PR creates this depth chart with rules that come from football operations, but not any direct input from football operations, if that makes sense. So in a way, it's kind of the biggest nothing that ever nothinged. And on the other side, we can kind of look at it and see where there's some competition for roster spots on the margin. And that's what we're going to kind of focus on today. So Spencer, looking forward to doing this with you. We'll start at the quarterback position where the Ravens list three different levels. And this is true at every position group, starters, backups, and competing. And the way I look at it is a starter or backup has probably made the roster, and a competing is probably on the fringe, might end up on the practice squad, et cetera, et cetera. And not everyone who's competing can make the roster. And I think they have everybody who's on the 90-man listed somewhere in this depth chart currently. So there's a whole bunch of guys who, you know, I think would be down to about 69 or 70 guys if you have an international exemption who might be possibly making it. So only about 7/9 of the names in total are going to make it. And we'll go through this. But the starter, you can probably guess, is Lamar Jackson. Cooper Rush is the backup here. And they have Devin Leary competing. Anything interesting to talk about with that?
Not a lot. I mean, I think in the grand scheme of, the media team or the PR team creating the depth chart with rules, but not input from the football side of the house, this one you would never be able to tell because this is probably the least surprising entry on the depth chart. But, yeah. Devin Leary seems like a potential fit for, the practice squad, but I don't think there's any question that barring injury and, knock on wood there, but Lamar Jackson will be starting week one. Cooper Rush will be his backup.
Yeah. Lamar Jackson looked fantastic today at OTAs, by the way, really accurate. He's really in shape. He's thin. It doesn't look like he's gained any of the weight back. So, and he looked right on the money. The passes were on target. So good shape there. And I would agree, Devin Leary, the practice squad, Cooper Rush on the 53. It's a pretty easy selection. Move on to running back. There is perhaps a discussion of whether or not a fourth guy makes the team here, but they've got six names in total. The starter is Derrick Henry. The backups are Justice Hill and Keaton Mitchell. And competing are Rasheen Ali, Marcus Major, and Stone and Toe. Did these make sense to you in top to bottom here?
They do. I think I don't think there's any question Derrick Henry is going to be the starter. Backups, Justice Hill, Keaton Mitchell, perfect sense. You know, that's the core three. I think Rasheen Ali, his path to the roster is driven largely by injury and not necessarily at the running back position. Obviously, if one of the guys goes down ahead of him, you know, whether it be for the year, whether it be a PUP, whatever it may be, of course, he would have the inside track there. But I think more than that, even he is probably the beneficiary if someone like an Emory Jones has to start the year on PUP, someone at another position, you know, at the fringe of, you know, the 10th offensive lineman, the sixth wide receiver, whatever it may be, he may be the beneficiary of one of those types of injuries.
Yeah, that's a very good point. So that would allow the Ravens to take a fourth running back where I don't think they normally would. And if you look back at last season, RB3 didn't get any work for the longest time. I mean, for starters, they didn't have Ali available. They didn't have Mitchell available. And they were elevating players for three consecutive weeks, John Kelly and then Collier, and then basically discarding them when they were through with them after the three elevations. And moving on, and they basically were perfectly happy with that arrangement. And then Rasheen Ali came back, and he was active for, I think, something like six games last year. It was a limited number. But he didn't get a carry until week 15. And I don't remember what week it was, but we were fairly far into the season before RB3 got a single carry for the Ravens. I think it might have been Collier, by the way.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything Ali has done to force his way onto the roster. You know, part of me says that I think he could survive to the practice squad, but you know, you think of the Tyler Beatty's of the world who get scooped up even as a sixth round pick who hadn't shown anything. You're rolling the dice, but I don't know that, you know, you sacrifice another position roster spot to make sure you secure Rasheen Ali.
Yes. I mean, for starters, I agree with that, that from a risk perspective, you got to let Rasheen Ali go to the practice squad. I do believe Ali is the sort of player, because he's had a trial with the Ravens and it didn't go so well, that I think he's the kind of player that other teams are probably going to pass on initially, but when their depth gets tighter as the season moves on, there's more of a risk that you lose him. It is a high attrition position where you'll have some guys lost during the season, and there's a chance that, you know, like at cornerback and some other places, that you have a place for a player like Ali before the season's over. But I don't see him being a big risk initially to being lost. I think he accepts the practice squad assignment, and I don't think his agent would even be looking too hard around the league for another place. You know, he'll clear waivers and he'll be able to sign with whoever's practice squad after cutdown day if things go as we're discussing here. But that would just be my take on the situation. He probably stays with the Ravens.
Yeah, barring, I mean, maybe the story is different at week 9, week 10, when that replacement level has lowered. But early on, it would seem that his best path to hanging on at the NFL would be staying with the Ravens to be that fourth running back on the practice squad.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to the tight end and fullback group. Six names here. The starters, Mark Andrews, Isaiah Likely, and Patrick Ricard. Big surprise. The backup, Charlie Kolar, only one of those. All four of those guys, by the way, last final year of their contract. So this depth chart will look probably a lot different in 2026. And the competing guys are Zaire Mitchell-Payton, who I believe is an international guy. He might not be the international guy this year, actually. Sam Pitts, who's a division, what we used to call Division III. It's FCS player. And Minnesota Duluth, I believe he came from. And Lucas Scott, who's a special teams kind of linebacker. It can maybe play some edge too, but not a guy I would expect to make the roster.
Yeah,
these special teams fullback. He's a fullback slash tight end, not a linebacker slash edge.
Yeah, these first couple or several position groups we started with fairly chalky in terms of what we think for. Who's going to make the roster, fully aligned with what you said. The only kind of story of interest that we would have had coming into this camp would have been Ishmael.
Yes.
But he has since signed with the Raiders, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. And that would have been a bit of an interesting story. But, you know, as it stands, I think the guys that have been mentioned, that's the four. And, you know, I will say the only thing is, it makes sense that Likely and Andrews are listed as the co-starters by the PR group. it does feel like Charlie Kolar is getting a little short shrift for how active he is in the the grouping, but it is what it is.
Yeah, well, there you go. And I don't think there's any real question of how many roster spots the Ravens would like to use here. I think if somebody got hurt, I think they'd go out and they'd find a blocking tight end, or they'd go out and they'd find maybe a tight end who can catch the ball. I actually think if they lost one of Andrews or Likely, they've actually got some variations in how they might respond to that. They might go out and get a slot receiving type flex tight end, or they might go out and get a wide receiver. And, you know, try and go to a lot more 11 personnel if they were a tight end down. So they'd have some options in terms of how they looked at that. All right, let's move on to wide receiver. The group is, and the skill position players in general are, for my money, are the deepest the Ravens have ever had in their history. But Zay Flowers, Rashad Bateman, and DeAndre Hopkins are listed as the starters, with backups Tylan Wallace, Devontae Walker, and LaJonte Wester. The competing players are Anthony Miller, Malik Cunningham, Keith Kirkwood, Dayton Wade, Jamal Banks, and Xavier Gilroy. So let's start with the starters. And I guess the one question I would have is, do you see Hopkins as a guy who will take snaps away from Bateman or Flowers?
I hope not, other than in a, and I don't have their exact snap shares from last year in front of me, maybe a, you know, in the fresh legs offense spirit of going from 75 to 70% of snaps or some on the margin takeaway, I would absolutely not want it to be from 80 to 55% or something like that.
Right. Yeah. I think that would be, you know, potentially very harmful. And Bateman and Flowers are still have extremely valuable contracts. They're playing out with their first and second and first deals respectively, but Hopkins is here for 1 year only. And so they really, I know they'll want to get a good amount out of him. It looks like a guy that Lamar is going to have a good connection with from what I saw today. And certainly is a, you know, still got something to offer in terms of what he does on the football field. But if he starts taking snaps from either Flowers or Bateman, I'm going to be a little bit upset about it. Tylan Wallace should still have a big run blocking role. Devontae Walker is a guy they're really going to have trouble getting on the field. And I look at the roster and I'm concerned. I hope special teams basically keeps him active and that forces him into the offense something. I think that's also the case for Wester and also the case for Wallace. All three of those guys could be guys that are too valuable not to have for special teams purposes, and therefore you get them on the field some, at least in the offense.
Yeah, I mean, what I'll say about Walker is he is a guy that I am perfectly happy, if the circumstances that it happens under are correct, that Ravens fans on Twitter are screaming that we haven't seen anything from this guy. We don't know what we have in him. He's a bust because he can't even get on the field. But if that's because he can't get on the field because Flowers, Bateman, Hopkins, Wallace are sucking up all the snaps and there's just no way for him to get on, I'm perfectly fine with that.
Yeah. Especially if the offense is at 3.05 points per drive or something like that, where, you know, you're just loving the result of everything. And there's Tylan Wallace is going to be a big improvement to that. Well, maybe, but maybe not.
And Walker may be the guy that gets, you know, the short end of the stick just because you have to deactivate some guys. You know, it's a zero sum game in some respect that someone has to be shut down. And if Wester is the primary returner and Wallace is your special teams ace slash, you know, run blocker slash emergency fill in at wide receiver, you know, Walker just might be the guy who draws the short straw.
Right. I think that's very possible. So, we move on. I think the most interesting group is the offensive line here. They have the starters listed: Ronnie Stanley, Andrew Voorhees, Tyre Linderbaum, Daniel Fa'alele, and Roger Rosengarten. Seems a reasonable combination they might start the year with. I think four of those five are certain of their positions if they're healthy. I think Voorhees is the one that's probably up in the air at this point. The backups: Joe Noteboom, and since he's the backup left tackle, I think he's secure. Ben Cleveland, Emory Jones, Carson Vinson are four they list. Now, Emory Jones has a labrum problem right now, and he couldn't play if it was today. They're talking about him being ready for camp. We'll see if that actually materializes. If you hear labrum injury for an offensive lineman, I don't know about you, but I'm not particularly optimistic.
No, that is concerning. Luckily, or maybe not luckily, but a silver lining is that there are a lot of options for this offensive line that guys that can or should potentially be on the roster that there probably aren't enough spots for. So in some ways that you know, you don't want injuries to happen, and this is not the way you want depth to resolve itself. But in some ways, it makes certain decisions that would have been difficult easier.
Yeah, that's a great point. And in the case of Emory Jones, he could start the year on PUP. He could start the year on one of the two IR spots that are potential DTRs that you now get for free. He could even get on in spot number 56 if the Ravens can figure out who their handshake guy is, which I think the closest guy they have to a handshake right now would be John Jenkins. And I don't know what he's making. If he signs for more than the vet minimum, then that won't work. But if he's a guy who's at the vet minimum, doesn't have a particularly large guaranteed number, that would be fine. And then they can just re-sign him immediately after the switch has been made to put an Emory Jones or somebody else onto the IR. But in the concern I have with the offensive line depth being cut this close is you have one guy who's a potential IR start with Emory Jones. You have another guy in Carson Vinson, who I think the team hopes never gets on the field this year. That would be my expectation for Vinson. You know, they signed Joe Noteboom. That's not a ringing endorsement of the possibility that Carson Vinson's going to be able to step in a tackle this year at some point, particularly when you drafted Emory Jones in the third round.
Yeah, I think Noteboom is a little bit of downside protection, just in that he has played both tackle spots, has a pretty good amount of snaps there. I think he's even played some left guard. He hasn't done it particularly well, but I think what you're doing there is securing some, you know, downside protection for game day, have an injury, make one switch if Stanley goes down, and then figure it out the next week.
Yeah. Great, great point. They do love to make their single switches to get in. And at least Noteboom gives you that option being a potential left tackle and doesn't force you to move Rosengarten, say a year before you wanted to, which is a big deal.
And the only thing I was going to say is the Vinson roster clogging. I think although it's suboptimal, especially if you're dealing with injuries, to have a person that you cannot or a player that you cannot play or do not want to play, I personally think it's a worthwhile gamble.
Oh, yeah.
On day two of the draft, I even name checked Carson Vinson as someone I'd like to see day three. You know, this is kind of, you either get these size shape guys in the first round, or you don't get them, or you get them with warts on them. And I think this is the kind of long-term investment that I've wanted the Ravens to make for a while. The last time they did something like that, I think, was Gregory Sinat, who they weren't able to hold on to.
Yep.
And I personally love this move and think it's a calculated risk of, you know, holding the roster spot.
Yeah. And I for a lot of reasons, I like it. And that's exactly right. I mean, the Ravens missed out on Spencer Brown. Same kind of thing. They could have drafted him, by the way, but I think he went in the fifth round or something. It was not particularly early that he went. So the Ravens had a shot, but they passed it up. Then you don't get that many opportunities where you can know your tackle situation is supposed to be for the next 2 years. And in fact, the Ravens in theory know it for the next three. So if Vincent were to come along in 27 and the Ravens were to release Ronnie before the last year of his contract, which I think would be about a $22 million savings or thereabout. Might be slightly less than that. It's 3 for 60. I think it's 2 for 44. So I think it's a $16 million savings for the last year. That would be something that could really be a way they could cash in on the Vinson selection, or even if Stanley plays it out, plays all 3 years, Vinson could still be an outstanding backup tackle after that. You know, he could be a guy who plays in year four, fails or succeeds, is back with the Ravens. You know, we don't know how long he might be with the team after that, but very excited also that Warhop seems so invested in the pick, both in terms of what we saw in the video and what we've seen on the practice field as well, in terms of him really taking a lot of personal time with Vincent.
Yeah, no, he's definitely invested there. And I think, that's an experiment that I'm excited to see play out. One quick thing, because I was trying to remember exactly how this played out. So Spencer Brown was pick 93 in the 2021 NFL draft.
Third round,
but even more notably than that, because I thought I remember this is how it played out. He was actually the pick just before the Ravens picked at 94, and they selected Ben Cleveland. So I think from a positional value perspective, it's maybe not Joe Staley, Ben Grubbs, but it's similar dynamic.
It's right there, boy. It's right there. Because Ben Grubbs wasn't a bad booby prize, second prize. He's not a booby prize. He's a second prize. You get Ben Cleveland, at least from the Ravens perspective, I think it's pretty darn close to a zonk and let's make a deal in terms of the level they got. All right. The interesting thing also is the competing offensive line people. They've got some players who I think have a very good chance to make the roster. In that sense, it should be if Emory Jones and Carson Vincent have a tenuous slot in the 8 and 9 spots, because the 8 and 9 spots, well, your 8 spot will be active on game day. And so you want to have a player there you're ready to go with. And your 9 spot is a 9-to-make-8 player that's very important because injuries happen on the offensive line. They got Nick Samak there, who's a center as he's listed here. He probably could play some guard as well. I think his chance to be a long-term Raven is probably reduced by the fact he didn't see a lot of action in his first year. And the other one is the interesting one is the 7th-round pick here at Dellinger, who they might be, a guy who played at LSU, looked pretty decent, frankly, in terms of what he did there. And either one of them potentially could be the guy that replaces Linderbaum if for some reason the Ravens can't get a contract done that extends him beyond 25.
Yeah, I think one thing that's quite interesting about the way this is listed, and I think with offensive line, we've sort of hit the first really interesting group in terms of how it's presented here in the depth chart, is that Garrett Dellinger is listed as O-line and not guard. I thought that was particularly interesting given that he has a potential future at center.
Yeah.
There's a couple interesting designations here. Guard tackle Ben Cleveland. I guess that makes sense given that he's sort of their super sub. But he's had some time at center, so I'm a little surprised
that he was center. Yeah,
they didn't just call him O-line. And then Emory Jones is specifically listed at tackle. And I wonder if that's a little bit of a, they'll try him at tackle until he has to kick in. But
that sounds like a unearned promotion for Emory Jones there. I think he's probably a guard tackler. And I think that's the best use of him. I think they're not going to have a spot at tackle if things work out from an injury perspective, but they might have a spot at guard for him if things don't work out there. So Emory Jones will have more value at tackle if he can eventually play there. But that's a lot of, if that were really the way everybody was and you have 4 guys who are basically tackles as your backup, with Ben Cleveland being a guard, that wouldn't be enough versatility on your roster if that were really true.
Yeah, I think my hope for Emory Jones is, and there's some moving parts that affect this, but if Daniel Falalele is not able to be re-signed on some sort of mutually beneficial contract for next year, that Emory Jones is sort of that inside track guy to be the right guard in 2026 and beyond.
Yeah, I think there's a good chance for that. Certainly has the length to play that position, play it well in terms of opening the front gate. The Ravens, place a lot of value on it, obviously, but I think that would be good. And one of the problems, I like Daniel Falalele, and I like, the trajectory he's on, how he finished the season this last year. And, the coaches seem to love him, and he was Joe D's guy. But the one thing that's a certainty about him is he really clogs up your roster because he can only play one position on the whole offensive line. If he's not a right guard, he's out of there. Now, that's okay. You can be a left tackle or nothing and get away doing that because it's a high-value position, high value as a backup. You can have 2 guys who can only play left tackle on your roster. To have a guy who can only play right guard can really limit you in terms of any kind of functional weakness that you're drafting on interior offensive line from making switches that might optimize those players. So you're limited in terms of having a Ben Cleveland, for example, on the roster and where he can play for you, because Ben Cleveland's best position is probably right guard and not left guard. It is a drawback to having a player like Falalele there. I think the aggregate contribution is still good, but it is a roster limiting factor. And then we got Corey Bullock, Darian Dalcourt. By the way, Darian Dalcourt has played a lot of center in last camp and this camp. Last camp, he was the second, particularly when Linderbaum was out, he was the second center. There might have even been times where Linderbaum and Samak were out, because Linderbaum had extensive absence, and I'm thinking Samak might have had a shorter one. And they, I believe Dalcourt was the guy who jumped up to play with, to get certainly second team reps, but he might have even gotten first team reps. Then they have a tackle, Gerald Lichtenhan. He's a body does not look ready to play in the NFL. He's very, very slender. lower body. He's kind of got a soft looking upper body. He's 6'9", so he's got some good length, but not your ideal shape. Even though, and he's also left tackle or nothing. I would say he's actually been playing some right tackle, but he's left tackle or nothing in terms of his usefulness to an NFL team. Ozzie Hutchinson, who I have no notes to tell you about, and Reed Holsky are also on the group. All that means is they're on the 90. They're not really, I think they would probably be practice squad hopefuls and really, really hoping hard to make the practice squad. All right. Let's see. So that takes us through the offensive group. How are you doing on time here? Would it be okay to go through the defense, or do you want to save that for another day?
We can keep going.
Let's go. The defensive line, the starters, Nnamdi Matabike, Travis Jones, Broderick Washington. The backups, John Jenkins and Aeneas Peebles. Those match my five, and the typical rostering is for five defensive linemen.
Yeah, I think aligned with that, I would say that this is one where there's clearly preference being given to a veteran. And I think we'll get into the competings in just a moment.
Yeah.
But John Jenkins, of all the guys we've talked to about this point, which has been the offense, and now we're in the first group of the defensive players, has probably the most tenuous hold on the spot that he's been listed in as one of the guys to make the roster. And that's not a comment on him as a player. It's more just that fifth defensive line spot could go a lot of different directions. You know, it could be his, it could be one guy we'll talk about, I'm sure, in a second, Jason Jones, who's in the competing group. Mm-hmm. I would not be surprised if they had Brent Urban on the practice squad or on the quick phone call squad at some point early in the year. And I think we mentioned on another show.
If you're looking for a better way to unwind, focus, or even get a good night's sleep, listen up. Let me tell you about Mood, the online cannabis company that's changing the game when it comes to functional gummies. They've crafted a whole line of federally legal THC blends designed to help with everything from stress to sleep to mental clarity and even some spicier needs if you're into that. Now, what makes Mood different? They go beyond just THC. They pair it with herbs and adaptogens to create targeted effects that you won't find in any other dispensary. And every gummy is made with pesticide-free, small-farm American cannabis. So you're getting quality that you can trust. I've tried their sleep gummies. And let me tell you, about takes about 15 minutes, and I'm out cold, no grogginess, no weird side effects, getting some of the best sleep I've gotten in my life when I take one of these gummies. And if you need a mood boost, there are Epic Euphoria gummies, game changers. And right now, Mood is giving listeners 20% off their first order by using the promo code RAVENS at checkout. So head on over to mood.com, find the perfect gummy for whatever life throws your way, and don't forget to use the promo code RAVENS to save 20%.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line, now 20% lower. Family plans, also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Defensive tackle, particularly backup nose tackle, is a spot where another team could potentially be trading from depth at the end of training camp, and we could get another body on the team here.
Yeah, and they're trading from depth, and as a size and shape pool, there's plenty of those guys out there on the street still. So They went out and they got John Jenkins. And John Jenkins is actually a guy who's played his career high in snaps each of the last 2 years at ages 34 and 35. So he'll be 36 this year, I believe. So it just it, I played, I want to say close to 600 snaps with the Raiders each of the last 2 years. So they've kind of overused him. And I think it's led to some less than stellar play the last 2 years. I truly say less than stellar. It's probably below the league average, but I wouldn't necessarily call him exactly a replacement level player given how many snaps he's had, but he probably represents the best of the available group of the size and shape pool. I will say Jason Jones looks soft to me, a guy who's going to have to spend some time in the weight room to get ready to play nose tackle in the NFL. Basil Okoye is freaking enormous. He wears number 97. He's for a lot of today. We thought he was actually John Jenkins because he's listed as number 67 on the roster. There was no 97. Everybody assumed, hey, well, John Jenkins is here. Well, John Jenkins wasn't allowed to be there because he hasn't been signed yet. All right. And so he can't be out there on the practice field with the Ravens. But Basil Okoye looked pretty darn good. And as far as, I wouldn't say his physique is entirely shaped either, but I do expect him to make the practice squad. I expect him to be a guy who's around for the season and is somebody that the Ravens can draw from.
Interesting. I'm looking at his profile on the Ravens website, and they've got him listed at 6'6", 315, but pictures of him that popped up, he looks a little bit bigger than that. I'm just passing along what's on the Ravens website. And they also have him as college NA. So I'm wondering where he was. Yeah,
I don't know the story behind that either. I want to look at that, but he may be a guy that they've developed into a player who didn't come out of the college ranks.
Okay. He's an international pathways player.
Yep. So he would give you, I think he gives you a 17th practice squad slot. So there'd be no reason not to keep him for that, but maybe that Mitchell Payton also has that. And I think they got it. Oh, this is one that could actually come up. Ajabo is an IPP guy also. He's qualified for that. So on the 90, okay, here, I think this is how this works. On the 90-man roster, I believe you can increase by one for an IPP player. But if you have three, you still only can use it on one player. When the regular season starts, you can have one more guy, I believe, on the practice squad taking you from 16 to 17 if you take an IPP player and IPPP. But Ajabo qualifies, Okoye qualifies, and there might be one other guy. Mitchell Payton, right? Mitchell Payton might qualify also. So it'd be interesting to see how they use that spot in the end. Yeah, I don't personally believe that Ajabo is a guy who lasts on the practice squad. I think they cut him. Somebody does take him. I just don't think there's going to be people banging down the Ravens' door to do that. Good point was made to me today, though, that Ajabo does not have a cheap fourth year of his deal since he was a second-round pick. Originally makes something like $2.3 million or something this year. And so if he's claimed off waivers, somebody has to pay that. And they may not want to. And then as soon as that happens, then he can sign with anybody to anybody's practice squad. I don't know that he stays with the Ravens anyway. I think he might move on to what he would perceive as a smoother track to getting playing time in 24 and 25.
Yeah, the only thing I would add in terms of, you know, maybe purple color glasses or optimistic thinking is that there are enough former Ravens coaches, including Mike McDonald, who had him both with the Ravens and Michigan, that there might be someone out there who likes him or thinks they can get more out of him than has been shown to this point. You could say that about a lot of guys, but that is one potential upside for, you know, not getting a ton back for him, but getting a player swap, getting a conditional seventh, whatever it may be.
Yeah, you know, that's a really good point. And I guess Jesse Minter with the Chargers, I don't remember if he was coaching a position group under McDonald in the year they won the national championship. But Minter, I believe, was on that thing. He might have been at the NFL level, frankly, already. And Harbaugh got him back as the Michigan defensive coordinator after McDonald moved to the Ravens. And it might have been that he's never really had a job of playing for him, but he'd be another guy who would be a possible. Oh, but Harbaugh's had him playing for him, hasn't he? So right there is a guy who might say, hey, we got to give this guy a chance. All right, let's move on. Inside linebacker, another position that the Ravens don't have the kind of competition they've had in the past. So they've got Roquan Smith and Trenton Simpson are listed as the starters, the backups, Jake Hummel and Teddy Buchanan. And when you look down at the competing, I think you're looking at some guys who are really would be long shots to make it even on a special teams basis. They're probably reasonable candidates to make it to the practice squad. And that's William Quenku, Jay Higgins, who's the Iowa linebacker, who's quite slow but still has pretty good passing credentials, pass coverage credentials, and Chandler Martin, who might be Tennessee Chattanooga or was where he played, but kind of an interesting UDFA selection. But I think Higgins would be the guy who would be the highest probability of these three to make it. What are your thoughts on this group as it stands, and who might be at risk for the position as stated?
Yeah, I think after offensive line and defensive line, this position grouping has a little bit less intrigue. Relatively, I think the starters pretty clear cut on Smith and Simpson, at least to start the season. Backups, you know, Hummel and Buchanan. Buchanan's probably the backup to both the Mike and the Will spot, at least on a game day injury or in-game injury rather. Hummel's more of a special teams ace. Maybe he'll give you some additional sub-package snaps or emergency fill-in snaps. But overall, I think those are clearly the four that are making it week one. Higgins is somewhat interesting given his college accolades, production. Maybe he's a little limited athletically, I think, but you know, what he's shown skill-wise makes you kind of hopeful that he could be a quick step in, give you some production in time of need player. So one of the more intriguing competing players, but I think this four is pretty well set for week one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where I am as well. And Higgins in particular might be a guy who they have as a special teams elevation for some weeks. You know, they could have a linebacker down. They could have another player, you know, wide receiver who can't play some week, where, you know, Tez Walker or somebody who you really need another guy to cover kicks and do things. And then it could be a Higgins is the guy who gets elevated. Let's move on to outside linebacker. This is one of the really interesting positions on the team because the Ravens have typically rostered five and they have six guys. They're almost prevented from doing what they've done typically, which is going out and getting a veteran pass rusher at this point because they just don't have room for them. But starters listed are Adafe Owe and Kyle Van Noy. And then the backups listed are Tavius Robinson, David Ajabo, Adisa Isaac, and Mike Green. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so this is an interesting one how, and again, this is probably driven by the PR team. You've seen a little bit more liberal listing of starters in some other situations. And Tavius Robinson doesn't play the majority of snaps, but he is actually out there on first down for a lot of games to start the season. So a little surprising that they didn't kind of liberally move him up there. And you have this kind of thick backup group, including guys like Adisa Isaac and Ajabo, who have, you know, questions respectively about how they're going to get on the field. And then Mike Green, who obviously everyone's really excited about seeing there. I wonder if a little bit of that is a balancing act on the PR team's part to have Mike Green down as a rookie who was not a first rounder in the backup grouping of, hey, we'll just have two guys up there, you know, balancing egos and whatever rules are put upon them by the front office and football coaching side of the house.
Yeah, I do think there's some of that going on. It's too bad they couldn't give an additional starter role to Tavius Robinson, given what the situation is. He certainly has a huge rotational role for this team. Mike Green, interestingly enough, you know, and I think I've heard this said by you before, impacts a lot of the other outside linebackers, pretty much all of them, except for Robinson.
Yeah, Robinson's a guy whose spot, I thought it was interesting. I heard someone, I don't know if it was your show or someone else, was kind of ticking through what this means for the outside linebacker group, and they just completely skipped over Tavius Robinson. And I think that's, you know, not a slight against Tavius Robinson. It's more just the role he plays is not particularly impacted by what Mike Green will probably be his first season, kind of being that designated first and second down run down and distance player. You know, Mike Green, at least his first season, unless he comes in and completely, you know, blows everyone away beyond their expectations of what he can be, is likely going to be, you know, very much in the Terrell Suggs as a rookie role of pin your ears back on third down, just do that trick really, really, really well. And that's what we want out of you, your rookie season. So Tavius Robinson is probably the one guy who's least impacted. Owe Van Noy will probably have some marginal snaps taken, keep them fresher. And then Ajabo and Isaac, you know, assuming they both make the team, have a even harder path or stairway to climb to get snaps.
Yeah, so Isaac at least has the special teams component to his game, I think, that will protect him. Ajabo's in a lot of trouble right now. And it's a matter of tenure in part because he's a fourth-year player relative to being a second-year player for Isaac. But also, Ajabo doesn't have a big special teams role, so it's easier to shut him down. And the guy who Ravens fans will remember because it's not that long ago is Paul Kruger. Had a very hard time getting on the field initially because he didn't play special teams. And as just a situational pass rusher, just wasn't a big enough role. And then he became a good situational pass rusher, and he became a very fine situational pass rusher in his fourth year as with the Ravens. But it was something that he had a hard time making it to the field. If David Ajabo or Adisa Isaac want to secure a spot, either one of them can do themselves a huge favor by really learning to and effectively playing the run, demonstrate that they can effectively play the run. Because right now, that Harrison role opposite Robinson on first down is wide open. And if one of those two could take it, they'd have a big leg up, I think, in terms of playing time and game day activations, whether it's five or six that they keep.
Yeah, just as an aside, if Ajabo has a Paul Kruger career arc, I think that's my 97.5th percentile expectation for his year. So I would not hate that. But I'm with you on that one.
Yeah, he didn't have Kruger's third year, so he can't be expected to have Kruger's fourth year is the unfortunate circumstance there. The three players competing, and this is Malik Ham is a very unfortunate kind of a story, but Malik Ham, I think he's actually in his third season right now. Yeah, he's in year three because he's been IR'd his first 2 years. So he's lost the tenure battle in a little way, but he really looked like a guy who could play the Sam linebacker spot. And he really have a role to play here in Baltimore. Now he's seventh on the depth chart. The best he's going to do is the practice squad this year. It might be a case where somebody else decides they want to pick him up even because he was an undrafted player. He doesn't have a big contract. The Ravens are holding him under. But it's a very unfortunate circumstance. The Baltimore kid also really would have loved for him to play for the Ravens. It just so far hasn't worked out. And it looks like there are major obstacles this year again as well. And then Dywan Black and Kamen Rucker are camp guys. Kamen Rucker in particular, latish signee from out of the University of North Carolina, but a guy I looked at a little bit when I was looking at tackles. And there was some tackle I was looking at. I'm trying to remember who it was, who had blocked effectively versus Kamen Rucker. And I said, Rucker is probably going to get drafted next year. And so this was obviously a year ago. And it seemed like a reasonable thing. So maybe Kamen Rucker is a guy who's on the practice squad and could even see time as a situational pass rusher at some time during the year.
Yeah. Unfortunately, right. I think that top part of the roster is a little too thick for, full for one of these fringe guys who are competing to break in.
Yeah. So far on the defensive line, by the way, in the offense, they only listed 24 guys who were starters or backups, and everybody else was competing, which means that 25th spot is kind of wide open. On the defense, you'll see pretty quickly that they've used up most of the spots they've had. Five went to the defensive line. That's exactly as expected. Four to inside linebacker, exactly as expected. That gives them nine. Outside linebacker has six more, though, and they're at 15. And that gives them only 10 defensive backs. And you look at who they already have, and you're going to say they need to get a safety still, and it's going to be kind of tight on the bottom end of the roster. But let's talk about that next. At cornerback, they have the starters listed as Marlon Humphrey, Nate Wiggins, and Chidobe Awuzie. And the backups are JAD, TJ Tampa, Bilal Kone, and Robert Longerbeam. So they are four deep on backup corners. I don't think all those guys are making the team. How do you fall out on that?
Yeah, I think some of these guys are actually competing, but there's sort of a hybrid definition of competing and backup versus the way it's been used the rest of the list, where mm-hmm. most of the guys competing are, fringe slash practice squad. In this case, what I would call competing here within this backup group, there is an active competition for who will be the backup. So I think starters, there's nothing overly interesting to talk about there. For the purposes of the show, I think Humphrey, Wiggins, Awuzie, those are the guys. If I'm looking at that backup group, who is competing? I think Tampa is relatively safe. He is competing for his future. He is competing for where he is on the depth chart this year. Mm-hmm. But I would be skeptical if someone said he's, kind of up or out or on the roster or out this year. Armour Davis, Kone, Longerbeam, those are the guys who are definitely competing.
So I go back to Tampa for 1 second, because I think having him as a backup at cornerback is probably correct, and it's probably where he ends up. But there's even a slight chance, because the Ravens' need is at safety. There's not one of these other players who would naturally fit at safety, unless you're going to make a titanic move and move Marlon Humphrey, which I think would be unwise given the kind of the thin depth at the top of the cornerback roster. I think it's possible TJ Tampa could get moved to safety. He's got more of the build for it. Probably more, certainly had some press ability, but could be a cover three corner as well. A guy who wants to read the quarterback, make a play on the football. That works pretty well as safety. Any speed concerns you have are minimized, you know, in a 4.59 40, but they're minimized by the fact that it's more of an instincts position than it is a speed position.
Yeah. He's a guy who could make a move, kind of a dark horse guy who could make a move, I think, or should be contemplating it, would be Armour Davis. I know he came up, he's, you know, a man corner pedigree, but one of the knocks on him is, you know, trouble getting his head around. He has good athleticism. It might be a big jump, but he's also kind of hanging on for his life in terms of NFL roster. So that, you know, might be a wild idea, but he's someone who maybe should be thinking about, given the kind of spots that are open, that could be something he could, you know, put his hat in the ring for.
Right. His roster spot's definitely in jeopardy. So from that perspective, yes. I'm looking at the Ravens perspective and I'm kind of questioning, it's not a multi-year solution if you go after JAD and move him to safety. It's a one-year solution. And maybe that's all they need, because Ardarius Washington will be back. And we get kind of an interesting injury report on Washington that he might be back as early as November. That's when Washington thinks he'll be back from this injury. I don't believe that's the case. I think I can't imagine they'd carry him on the roster with an IR DTR spot, hoping that he'd be able to return in week, 14 or something. Even Harbaugh was a little bit sick. Well, I'm hoping that means December kind of thing. And if you want to listen, go out there and listen to the interview directly from Harbaugh. Don't take my quote for it, because I'll mess it up somehow. But I reading between the lines, I don't think Harbaugh expects him back at any point this year.
It wasn't the injury an Achilles?
Achilles tear.
Yeah, there's
a clean tear, is how it was decided today. Whatever that means.
So I had not heard that injury report. I am actually taken aback that they had that kind of timeline for an Achilles.
Yeah.
But, you know, defensive backs don't need to be, you know, explosive or firing off.
Yeah, sure. Okay. All right. Very good. So we'll move
safety's
on.
To an instincts position. So yeah, we'll be good.
we'll move on to safety. The starters are Kyle Hamilton and Malachi Starks. The backups are Sanusi Kane and Bo Breed. Just look at that list. That's a very, very, very thin group of safeties Ravens are working with, particularly in terms of guys who can play the back end with Ardarius out.
Yeah, it's a little frightening. I think there's definitely room, or not even just room, necessity to get a guy who has more coverage chops, split field chops than what they have. I'm not, I don't hate it if one of Sanusi Kane or Bo Braid makes the roster. Probably not room for both of them. But I, you know, this is probably my most concerning spot.
Yeah, it definitely has. And I look at this, I think they're a -2, frankly, at safety right now, because I think they would like to have two guys who could play the back end if they want to safely move Hamilton forward, because you'd want to have three guys who can play the back end. You don't want to be forced into, again, as has happened so many times over the last 2 years, into playing Hamilton at a specific position out of need. I mean, that's, it takes away, you know, the queen on the chessboard is, you know, blocked by other pieces if that's true.
Yeah, I think they need to be, and I know you've talked about looking kind of for the rookie and year one experience players that are available across the league. I think in some ways, I mean, obviously this is a suboptimal situation. In some ways, they almost have another undrafted free agent opportunity here to sort of scan. And I would think any of their kind of pro level scouts should be their top priority right now, is looking around, you know, who's a guy who's flying under the radar that we can scoop from another roster, who's not on a 53 or maybe not even in camp right now, that we think is interesting.
Yeah, I would bet they've got someone who maybe they didn't consider him a draftable player, but someone that was on their list of players who would be UDFA targets who would be not on somebody's roster right now. I would be shocked if there wasn't a guy like that. just, we're dealing with 90-man rosters right now. They are, the signs are all there that they're working through some roster constraints right now with how they're working. So they may have guys lined up and they'd be saying, hey, come in June 1st. We're really excited to have you. But this position in particular, get them in the building. I mean, geez, get these guys in the building and studying right now. There's other players on the team who probably don't need it. You can't just release them and automatically get them back or whatever, but there are other guys on the roster who don't need to be there. And they identify John Jenkins as a guy who doesn't need to be there until June 1st. So they're perfectly happy with that. And I think that's correct. They've got Sanusi Kane and Bo Braid now playing a lot of back end. So they're getting their trial right now in OTAs, and they may or may not, or the experiment may or may not continue with both players into camp. It wouldn't surprise me if we saw them both on the back end in some preseason games, but it also wouldn't shock me if they kind of shied away from one and were trying to test out somebody else, whether that's Tampa, somebody outside the organization. If they buy into a veteran safety, it almost certainly will be somebody who doesn't get time in the preseason outside the first half anyway. So there's still a lot of snaps to be had on the back end of this defense to be trial snaps for somebody who's healthy and ready to go in this preseason.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this will probably be, other than nose tackle, or not other than nose tackle, along with nose tackle, mm-hmm. probably one of the most interesting preseason and camp position battles, or maybe not even battle, looking for someone to fill the void.
Yeah.
Cornerback is probably a battle for the fifth and sixth spots, but this is a who steps up kind of situation.
Yeah, absolutely. Today they had Igbinosin and Keandre Jackson were both on the back end too. And they're just not guys who would typically get a chance at an NFL roster. So it's unexpected to see them both out there. Anyway, certainly hope the Ravens address that, and very happy with the roster overall in terms of the quality of it. But they are, as this depth chart is set, Ravens have, I believe, 27 guys. They have 4, 7, 11, let's see, 17, 21. They have 26 guys on defense and 24 guys on offense. So I guess they maybe found a roster that they could do. Now, the Ravens never do anything but 25 and 25, by the way. They don't play the 26-24 game. And if they did, it would only be to slip guys onto the IR slots that used to occur more commonly with the handshake deals, as opposed to losing somebody to a season-ending designation right away. It's not something they do. It'll always be 25, 25, and 3, the way they develop the roster. Everybody talks about maybe this is the year they go 26, 24. They just never do it.
Yeah, I think some of this, or if I'm looking at where I think the specific pivot point or fulcrum point between that 26-24 is, it's, I think, some sensitivity to the draft picks, to the incumbents, that seventh cornerback, that competition that is in backups, right. And then putting on the offensive line, Samak and
Dellinger
in the competing. I think ultimately that 10th offensive line spot, is what pushes the and it could be Ellie, but I think it's ultimately a 10th offensive lineman that pushes the offense to 25 and probably subtracts from that cornerback group down to 6 and thus making 25 on the defensive side.
I think you're exactly right. I think these are the exactly two players who could get it, and they could play some sort of game with the injuries, and not even a game. I mean, hey, there's going to be attrition in camp, so people are going to get hurt. The roster is not going to look exactly like this. They're going to be 3 new players in to replace players who otherwise would have started the season with the Ravens probably. And Ardarius Washington is just the first domino to fall in that regard. But it'll be a different roster come opening day than the 50 they have planned between offense and defense here. All right. Always great talking football with you, Spencer. Thank you for joining us on Friday Morning GM here. Can you tell people where they can talk football with you online?
Absolutely. You can find me on Twitter/X at Spencer CP. That's SpencerCP. Always happy to talk Ravens.
tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line, now 20% lower. Family plans, also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number. Not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.